Time now for Labor Press, your source for daily labor news and industry information. Hear discussions on the workplace and interesting talk from prominent and influential personalities in the labor community. And now your hosts, Neil Tippel and Bill Holfeld.
Accountability. Hello and welcome to Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz right here on AM 970 The Answer. We're the program that talks about working people, their challenges, and whenever we can, their victories. I'm your host, Bill Holfeld, and in the studio with me is my co-host and producer, Joe Maniscalco. Joe, how you doing today?
Bill, I'm doing okay, but I'm very upset, and I think every journalist in this town and across the country should be upset after seeing what billionaire Joe Ricketts did with DNA Info and Gothamist, two very popular hyper local news sites, who this past week he just decided to summarily shut down 6 days after they decided to unionize with the Writers Guild East.
Yeah, you couldn't even for a hypersecond come up with the excuse that this had anything to do with money. The guy's a billionaire. He's as flush as can be. And this is out and out reprisal against union organization.
So a great part of this show this week, we're going to be talking about that struggle and talking about independent journalism, independent media in general. And our first guest right now is Tom Campbell from WNY Labor Today, and that's up in Buffalo, and he's doing great work there, focusing on the workplace, focusing on labor. And Tom, welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me aboard.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Tom. Well, welcome. It's nice to be talking to somebody else that's fighting the same battle in the same trenches.
We have for about 10 years now.
Oh, good job. Good job. So tell us a little bit about your audience up there in Buffalo and the kind of stuff that you take on. And the first question I got to ask you, because I'm an ex-iron worker, right? So you deal with my buddies up there in Local 6?
You sure do. Tommy Halligan.
Yep,
great,
yep.
Great guy.
Yep.
Great guy. And I go back years with the Buffalo building trades with a lot of people who've been with iron workers, Local 6. There's a lot of great work that's being done up here, construction and expansion of Buffalo's medical corridor, and the iron workers have been a big part of it. In fact, Tommy Halligan, I see his name pop up all the time as a subscriber to our site. He's a regular visitor, and it's good to see. We need to have labor leadership. Now, it doesn't matter if it's New York City or Buffalo or anywhere else around the country. They really need to be acutely aware of what's going on and what's facing the labor movement, not just for their own union, but for unions across the board, both public and private.
Amen to that, brother. So give us your take on this whole Gothamist thing that went on over DNA Info.
Well, it's discerning, but it really underscores the problem that labor faces. I started as a reporter a number of years ago working for United Press International as a correspondent out of the Buffalo Bureau for 6 years, and then with a business newspaper here in Buffalo, also American City Business Journal owned, and I covered labor. And it was apparent way back when that if labor was truly going to get its own message out, it needed to have its own media outlets. Because the mainstream media, and Joe and I were talking about this the other day, it seems that the only time they're interested in labor is if it's a picket, a strike, or worse yet, an indictment. And it really shuts the door on a lot of good things that are going on in the labor movement for not only what they're doing, giving back to the communities where their members work, live, and raise their families, but also, and you mentioned it in the beginning of your introduction, the victories. We have a section in our online labor newspaper dedicated to organizing victories across the United States. And you know what? We're publishing 2 to 4 stories a week from unions ranging from SEIU to the UAW to the Teamsters, the painters. It's truly amazing.
There's once again, I know my bias is shown here, but I know John Belak. He's the shop organizer out of the Ironworkers International. He just organized a fabrication shop up near you guys.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because what's happening is that these non-union workers aren't necessarily coming for better wages and benefits. It seems they're coming for better workplace conditions, gentlemen.
Yes.
And that story is never going to be told in a daily newspaper, a weekly newspaper, a business newspaper, radio, or TV. So that's why it's so important that labor has its own media outlets like Labor Press, like your radio show, like WNY Labor Today, and so many others that are providing labor with that opportunity to get its message out. And what you talked about Ricketts doing, it, again, is very discerning because you've got a handful of very rich people that own the majority of mainstream media outlets in this country. And how is labor ever going to get its message out, let alone stop being portrayed as a villain every time you turn around when there's a situation at a company that forces them to hit the bricks, just like the IBEW and Spectrum in your town?
Yep. Exactly. Good example.
It's a real good example. So it is. And I'm hoping on a two-pronged front here that this reopens the eyes of labor leadership across the country of how important a role our outlets can and will play as we move into an extremely important year, 2018, with the midterm elections. If you don't inform and educate and connect with your members, how are you ever going to get them to vote for their best interests when they get into that voting booth? It goes back to Wisconsin. You had one out of three union households voted for Scott Walker in the recall election. So the handwriting was on the wall. And then, of course, and unfortunately, you had 41% of union households voting for Donald Trump last November. So, it underscores the need to educate and inform. And you can't, and the labor movement can't bank on the mainstream media, those daily newspapers at all, to carry their message.
Exactly. Tom, I want to just bring in some audio. The fired workers actually held a rally the other day, and right now we're going to listen to one of those reporters from DNA Info, a fellow by the name of Ben Frachtenberg.
All right. Solidarity with our new member.
Freelancers count.
Yes. Okay. I want to hand the mic and the megaphone over to Ben Frachtenberg and Emma Whitford, who are going to talk to you about what it's like to be in the firing line with Joe and Rick.
First of all, I would just like to thank everyone for showing up today and the outpouring of support that we've been shown. It's been incredible. You know, when we were really caught flat-footed when this happened. I was in court reporting on something, and I started to get all these frantic text messages. And went on the website to look at DNA Info and realized that my life's work as a journalist is the only place I've worked since finishing grad school had just been eviscerated. And we should be clear that that is not just an attack on us. We have strong support from the community here. We'll be okay. We'll land on our feet. But this is an attack on millions of people throughout the country who depended on our reporting. And to then take down the work that journalists had done to hold people of power, powerful institutions to account, to take that down and eviscerate the public record, lets people off the hook. And it is insulting to all the people in the communities across the country who depend on our reporting. It was a disgusting act, and it was an act of retaliation, and it's something that no one should stand for.
So there you guys have it, that you see what a punitive, spiteful act this was on the part of Joe Ricketts.
It's it's more than discerning. And to listen to this young journalist talk about his work being wiped out, so he can't even use it on a resume, his clips package. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But you know, getting back to what you're talking about overall here, is that the labor movement has allowed for too many years their members to listen to Fox News ad nauseum, to Rush Limbaugh, and now this crazy guy Alex Jones and his InfoWars. If they don't step up to the plate and make some kind of solid movement and commitment to getting their members the information they need, you're going to see more of this, and people aren't going to know what the real story is based on this clip I just listened, this audio clip you just played. Where else are you going to hear an individual state that side of the story if not for a media outlet then?
Absolutely nowhere, Tom. And you know, and I just need to tell you that that you and Joe and I, we're going to do exactly what you're talking about, and we're going to do it for as long as we can, for as well as we can. And if I can, I'm an old movie buff, so if I can go to this for a minute, as Humphrey Bogart said to Claude Rains at the end of Casablanca, Tom, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Well, I certainly hope so, gentlemen, because it's needed. And it's been needed for a long, long time.
Tom, we're going to leave it there, unfortunately, but we definitely want to have you back. And we just want everybody to let everybody to navigate to WNYLaborToday.com for some really great news.
And we will be back in just a minute with more good talk right here on Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz at AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Labor Press on AM 970, The Answer.